Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be joining you. And if you know me, you'll know that I've got an absolutely perfect face for such a medium of voice-only presentations. So I'll get started. And my name is Mark Keeley. I'm a deputy head teacher. I'm a teacher of psychology. And the main thrust of this evening's 7 minutes or so presentation is to look at the contribution of cognitive neuroscience and in essence trying to parallel it against what we could learn or what we already know has classroom application and value from the field of cognitive psychology. So neuroscience, cognitive neuroscience, educational neuroscience. Don't really know what that means, educational neuroscience. What does it mean for us as teachers in the classroom? Well, when George Miller coined the term cognitive neuroscience in the 1970s, what was the purpose of that new field of study? Perhaps if we examine a few topics or areas of study that fall under this heading, it may help shed some light into what do we mean by the term cognitive neuroscience. So we've got electrical and magnetic brain recordings and mental chronometry, neural mechanisms for forming a perceptual decision, the problem of coding single cells and neuronal populations. So are you any clearer in terms of how this is going to help you period 6 on a Friday after a long week with your classes? Because I'm not really. So let's try this then. Cognitive neuroscience helps us to understand how the human brain supports thought, perception, affection, action, social process and other aspects of cognition and behaviour. Sounds very promising. This is from Aisnick and Kane, Cognitive Psychology, page 521. Sounds very hopeful. So, why don't we take it a stage further and ask the Royal Society and look at their 2011 report, Brainwaves Module 2. So the neuroscience, implications for education and lifelong learning. Both nature and nurture affect the learning brain. Yes, we know that without calling it neuroscience. The brain is plastic. Yes, we know that without calling it neuroscience. The brain's response to reward is influenced by expectations and uncertainty. Yes, we know that from cognitive psychology. The brain has mechanisms for self-regulation. Yes, we know that. Education is a powerful form of cognitive enhancement. Not only do we know that, but I'd take that a stage further and say education is cognitive enhancement. Yes, I know that's a kind of reductive term, but in essence, it would be very difficult to argue against all of this. So teachers know all of these things. Teachers understand that postcodes make a difference to attainment in schools. Teachers understand that being able to operationalise some of these things in the class is just that little bit more difficult when we don't really know what cognitive or educational neuroscience is supposed to mean in the classroom. So I asked a friend of mine, Professor Vin Walsh, who's a professor of cognitive neuroscience, infinitely more insightful about this than me, and his reply was wonderful. A good test of neurobabble, Mark, is whether you can replace the word brain with people or person. If you can, then we haven't learned anything new from saying brain. In other words, cognitive neuroscience may have helped us debunk nonsense. And actually, I think pseudoscience is actually uninteresting as opposed to just nonsense. The guff that is NLP, the complete tripe that is brain gym, and the bleep bleep that is learning styles. I see that as uninteresting. I don't actually see it as something that is really operational in the classroom. So, in this context, what you have to ask yourself now is what is more appropriate to the classroom, cognitive neuroscience or cognitive psychology? So in conclusion, cognitive neuroscience at the moment has very little to offer. And as Dorothy Bishop constantly asks, find me an example from cognitive neuroscience that has been operationalised into a classroom context, and she'll be incredibly surprised, as will I. Please let's not conflate cognitive psychology with cognitive neuroscience. Aspects around working memory, aspects around how we learn are infinitely, infinitely important. And you could say via social media platforms like Twitter, they are gaining greater traction in schools. They are gaining a greater importance in the life of teachers. But please, let's not conflate cognitive neuroscience at present with the joys and the applications that cognitive psychology can offer us. So in conclusion, cognitive neuroscience at the moment, no. Cognitive psychology at the moment, yes. Could that system of pattern change? Absolutely. But at the moment, cognitive psychology is the clear winner. I hope you have a great evening. Fantastic from Sean et al. To organise this. And I, for one, will definitely be buying Sean and Andy's book. And I look forward to looking through the tweets this evening. Best wishes, Mark.